Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's episode is number 225. And of course, I'm joined by the one and only Justin Pearson of 31G Records, as well as the Cult and Culture podcast, and from the bands The Locust, Dead Cross, Def Club, Planet B, and Satanic Planet. Now, as you can hear, I'm a little under the weather, so I'm just going to keep my intro short and sweet. Make sure you go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, just share it around or rate it and subscribe wherever you're listening. If you're interested in signing up for the Patreon, the link for that is in the description. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and let's get into this week's episode.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Like I said, pretty much before I jump into the horror stuff directly, I do like to ask, you know, about what you got going on and stuff. I know you do your own monthly podcast called the Cult and Culture Podcast. You mind just telling me a little, you know, for the people that are listening that don't know about it, do you mind telling me a little bit about it and, you know, where they can find it and stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So Cult and Culture, we record it in San Diego. It's me and Luke Henshaw, who's he's in Planet B and Satanic Planet with me. And it's kind of part of Planet B. Before Planet B was a band, we did these like shows or like DJ nights or whatever. And then we did the podcast. We did all this shit. And then it became a band. So it's kind of still tagged as like a Planet B thing. But we do it in person. And it's always in San Diego. Well, mostly always in San Diego. We've done a couple. But it's always in person, and it's usually with someone that we know. So it's like just a conversation, not like it's less interview based and more just like it goes both ways. You know what I'm saying? Like with conversation and stuff. So yeah, and it's part of the Ruinous Media podcast umbrella. So it's everywhere. You can get it like all the spots that people get podcasts from.
Awesome. No, yeah, I was listening on Spotify. So you know, if you listen to podcasts on Spotify, that's where you can check it out as well. So
yeah,
I don't know what you mean, but hell yeah. But and then, of course, like you mentioned, you know, a few of your projects, but you play, you know, many projects, you know, past and present. Do you want to just shout out any, you know, either recent releases or just anything you got coming up, whether it's shows or releases or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, there's a Planet B album coming out like in a couple weeks on 31G. We've been working on it for a long time, a few years. And then currently working on a new Def Club album and a new Satanic Planet album. So those are my three active bands. And I've been just, you know, going forward, doing the thing. So yeah.
No, yeah, I'll definitely be keeping an eye out for those as well. And of course, anybody listening, you know, hopefully they follow all your, you know, band socials, but of course, if they follow your social, they'll see, you know, you promoting all that stuff when it comes out for sure. So
yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you have a link tree or anything like that? Cause I was saying, I can throw that in the description. If
yeah, the link tree is on my Instagram. I think it's there. That should have everything on that.
Oh yeah, I'll put that in the description then for sure. So if you're interested in anything, of course, you know, it'll be down in that if you're checking out the episode. But hell yeah, we can dive right into horror movies. My first question pretty much with that is, you know, what was your relationship growing up? And what was your relationship with horror movies growing up? And did it change at all as you got older and became an adult?
It definitely did. Growing up, so I grew up in the 80s. So I saw a lot of the classics, I guess, as you would say. I was like, obviously, as a kid, one of my favorite films was the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then I was really into Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, stuff like that, kind of because it was like, you know, there was like a bunch of different like series, you know, like a series of films that were all part of these stories. So, yeah. And as a kid, it was like cooler or whatever. But it's weird because, I grew up like kind of submerged in a lot of like horror films and like a lot of sci-fi stuff too. And I think a lot of that translated into like a lot of the art that I ended up doing or the band stuff that I ended up becoming part of. But it was weird as a kid because my parents just didn't give a shit what I watched. And so I saw like, you know, I mean, I remember going in like renting like Faces of Death and stuff like that. And I think most children probably shouldn't watch that or whatever. And I later on found out a lot about that as well. And like how some of it was fake and stuff. But, and then as I got older, it shifted because I started realizing like what was actually like horrible or horrific and like what was kind of just like more sensationalized because I mean, let's face it, like a guy with a hockey mask running through the forest is pretty silly and not really something that I would like be personally scared about. Yeah. So yeah, my perception of horror has shifted. It's also odd too because two things in recent times. Like I was on another podcast that kind of centered on horror films, and it was weird because they were like, pick one to discuss, and I think I fucked them up because I picked this movie called Earthlings, and it's not really a horror movie. It's a documentary, and it's just terrible shit that humans do. Kind of like Faces of Death, but like legitimately real and like just really fucking gut-wrenching stuff.
Yeah.
And it's even the trailer is hard to watch. So that was my thing. And so also too, like a friend of mine's developing a script for a part two of a horror film. And I was like, this is kind of silly shit. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't really think it's horrible. And so I was like, what about like I'm trying to like find things that are like based in reality for me. And my points were like I used the movie Green Room as an example. And I think that's a pretty good horror movie because like I personally have been beat up a lot by Nazi skinheads and I fucking fear them. Also, like I picked it apart, like, okay, a punk band wouldn't be playing the sh I don't know if you've seen it, but a punk band wouldn't be playing the show and they wouldn't go on stage in front of a bunch of Nazis and do Nazi Punks Fuck Off, the Dead Kennedys cover. Like, it just, you're like, yeah, you're asking for it. It's pretty lame. Like, but
It's like
whatever, it is what it is. Good horror film.
you almost think that that's going to be the moment that sets off the skinheads is when they play that, and then it's like it gets even further with the murder. But no, I love that movie. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. But in realistic, realistically, like the band wouldn't have got to that point. Like
Yeah.
it just wouldn't have happened. So
They got yanked off
I
stage.
was just like, eh. I mean, good story, but like, eh. And then I just would like start riffing on like even right now, it's like, the war in Gaza, like just like hearing about like people coming in with their fucking limbs blown off and like no way to like help them. That's like legitimate horror. Like that's something that like, I don't know, like our government's funding that. Like that's something that like feels like real actual horror opposed to like, like 'cause children are dying and shit. Like they're
Yeah.
getting bombed and like that and like they're getting their fucking limbs blown off and that's real horror shit where like again going back to like I don't know, Hellraiser or something, it's just like come on. Like this is just fucking goofy shit. So my perception of horror has changed. In a crotchety way, I guess, because I'm not like as like yeah, like into the genre or something.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's almost like those ones that hit closer to the real horror are the ones that pull at you more than like a true life horror movie could be scarier. But I know exactly what you mean. It's like a movie that I point out that it's kind of still like in the slasher realm, but it kind of lives in the world of more realistic is like, which I mean, you shout it out, Texas Chainsaw kind of that, that can still happen and stuff. But like this one that's called The Strangers. Have you ever seen that one with the masked people that pretty much like these? It's like a couple that after a wedding go to a house out in the woods and like early in the morning and stuff, and these people show up and pretty much like torture and kill them. But
Yeah.
it's one of those things that it's like that stuff scares me more than like you said, it's like Hellraiser where these people are coming out of like the walls and other dimensions. And like I love
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger, but I love him for the funness. He's not really scary anymore. When I was a kid, it scared me. And it's still fun to have
Sure.
those conversations of like, oh, this one's my favorite. Like to call back to what you said earlier with, these films having full franchises, they're fun for conversation in the genre because you can, there's 10 movies, so this person can have a different favorite than this person. And there's so many scenes and cool death scenes. But when you start talking about some of your favorite horror movies, it's usually the one-off films like The Exorcist or, Rosemary's Baby or, films like Green Room that really get up there as people's favorites for sure.
Yeah, or again, too, like kind of you touched upon like the sort of style, but like something like Funny Games where it's like just full fucking real life horror,
Yeah.
And also like, and that maybe if we could riff on that for a second, because Funny Games is cool because John Zorn did the score to it. So it like kind of fits into this like real legit realm for me, because of like music and where music might play a role in it as well.
Yeah.
It's just like real jarring shit. But yeah, also like real life cults, that's pretty crazy. Especially here in San Diego, we had fuck, what I'm drawing a blank now of the cult. They were purple and sneakers and shit. God damn it. It's gone. Anyhow, the cult thing is pretty legit. Like that kind of stuff seems like generally frightening because it happens in like the real world,
Yeah.
Also, cops, fucking, if you want to make a film about cops, even like just how they racially profile people and fucking kill people and get away with it. That seems like legitimate horror. I mean, for me, like, even I'm a fucking white dude. So like, if I see a cop, I'm still frightened, you know, like I'm still like, oh fuck. Yeah. You know, and like that, I don't see like a person with like, you know, like a glove with knives and get scared. However, though, someone was right by my house at the park was scalped a few months ago, which it just seems wild, with a sword. And oh, I'm like, shit. What the fuck, man? Like, that's this world that we're living in now. So it seemed like insane, but it really did happen to someone.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. It's like, we don't necessarily have the same like things as like, you know, like a person of color would when seeing a cop, like those fears, but we have definitely other fears and stuff, like, cause you know, I'm covered in tattoos too. So like, we know that they still see us as not your normal, you know, citizen or whatever, when a cop sees us, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's still, you're a hoodlum. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much exactly that. It's like, they immediately look at you as like, oh, that guy got tattooed up, he must not care. You know what I mean? Or some shit. Yeah. You know, it's like stupid stuff. So, but nah, so I agree 100%. It's not the same fears, but it's definitely, there's some slight fear there every time I see a cop. I'm just like, my butthole puckers a little bit, but no, I'm just kidding. But no, hell yeah. No, I agree 100%. And Funny Games is another one that I love. And it's the same thing. It's like, it's because of the realness in it. You know, like there's the, you know, he breaks the fourth wall and there's other stuff that happens in it that of course takes you out of it at times, but that just makes the movie fun for the, you know, genre fans and, you know, just like shows the filmmaking aspect of it. But when the overall like arc of the movie, it's just those niceties that get pushed too far and get people put in a situation where they can't get out of it after too long, you know? So,
yeah. What about Mandy? That movie was pretty sick. And like, it is very sensationalized, but also like the sheer insanity of like, some of those scenes, like it could kind of happen. I mean, even the villains or whatever, like, see, like you're like, okay, this might happen, you know, like, I guess.
Yeah. And then the way that they burn Mandy in front of him, like, shit, he deserves that revenge. Like that's such a rough scene.
Yeah. There's a lot of those that I think are more, like kind of get into your mind than just like the obvious, like, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No, and Mandy, like you said, kind of lends into like the cult aspect, you know, like the Children of the New Dawn, I think is what the cult is called in that. And there's so many movies right now. Like, what is it? The Mothers of God or whatever, the woman that thinks that she was like reincarnated through Robin Williams and stuff. The documentary.
Oh, that shit's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like there's all these different things where it's like, you know, there's all these documentaries that people laugh at. It's, you know, like we see, but it's like that shit just happened 5 years ago or, you know, this and that. So it's like,
yeah,
it seems crazy. But then when you realize it just happened not too long ago in the same United States that we're living in or whatever, it's fucking nuts. But
I mean, the cult stuff is totally insane and frightening, but it like doesn't really seem like it's like gonna come and get you necessarily. I mean, there are some films where that happens and it's pretty frightening, but you know, like Heaven's Gate was the one that I was trying to talk about in San Diego. Like, you know, they just all did their thing and died. And I, you know, I didn't have to be scared of them. I just thought like, that's fucking crazy. I mean, I didn't know about them until they actually killed themselves. But I guess you could like probably relate horror to that if like your family member got sucked into that cult and then committed suicide or murdered or something.
Yeah. Or a situation like, have you seen that movie, The Invitation? But I think it was Karen Kusama.
I don't know.
It's got Logan Marshall Green and he's the same guy that's an Upgrade. And he was in one of the Spider-Man movies, Homecoming, I think. His old wife and him split up after their kid passed away. And years later, he like reconnects with her. And when he does, she invites him over for like a dinner with his new girlfriend and her new boyfriend and stuff. And the whole time he starts to feel like it's like all their old friends together for the first time in years. But he starts to feel like they have like other motives, like there might be a cult thing. And so the whole movie's like, is there a cult? Is there not? But it's really good. It's I definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it. It's streaming a lot of places, so it should be
readily
available. So. But hell yeah. But you mentioned quite a few films, you know, ones that, you know, just touch on what you were, you know, mentioning on and then ones that kind of brought you up in horror. Do you have some that stick out as like favorites of all time or maybe even one that, you know, takes that top spot as a favorite?
I think I'd go with the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I feel like when I saw it as a kid, it was a lot of things were in play. I remember watching it in the daytime, which, you know, obviously like it's not as scary, I guess, but the opening scene or where the monologue is playing before it happens. And then the opening scene where it is daytime. And I grew up in Phoenix, so it was like 120 degrees outside. And it really set the mood for me. And I was by myself. So I was like, I don't know what age I was. Let's say 7, you know, and like watching that, it fucked me up pretty bad. It scared me pretty bad. And then, you know, obviously just kind of like, sensationalizing it and like seeing like you know, Leatherface is a hero, but also like I also felt like all the other characters were very equally as frightening. I mean, almost like, you know, almost like his brother and his dad were worse to me. I think if I was to put myself into that situation, but
Yeah, they
and
kind of
also
play on that in
seeing.
the sequel with like him being the one that's like nice to the victims and stuff, you know, once.
Oh yeah, the sequel's interesting too because it was really funny, and I loved that film as well. I actually remember seeing that. I got a kind of interesting story about that. When it came out, it wasn't in the theater where I lived. But it like received an X rating, which I thought was kind of funny. And so it was really hard to try to rent it, but I ended up renting it when it first came out. And my mom allowed me to invite some friends over, and she made everybody chili. And then we watched the movie, and in the movie, they obviously eat chili that has human meat in it. So it's kind of like it felt funny, like a themed, you know, like themed night, chili night.
Yeah,
But yeah, it was
that's
cool. It was
awesome.
like right around my birthday, and the VHS store owner was a friend of mine, a friend of our family and stuff. And he was like, you can pick between these like life-size cardboard cutouts. It was a there was a Jason, a Freddy, and a Leatherface one. And of course, I picked the Leatherface one. It was for part two. And the
That's
Cramps are on
awesome.
the soundtrack, and Oingo Boingo. It has a really good soundtrack, so it's cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's one that's I actually like to watch two more than one, just because now that I've gotten older, like I've seen them both so many times that one, two is just like the one that's fun, you know what I mean? But
Yeah.
one is still like, to me, I agree 100%. I can see where one would be like truly terrifying, especially growing up in Phoenix, like a lot of that like similarities with like the desert area and stuff. And then of course, like a lot of the movie does take place in daytime, so even watching it in daytime, like there's really only the climax of the movie that takes place in the dark, and by that time you're already scared of Leatherface and she's kind of just getting chased
Oh
for
yeah.
that whole second half. So it's fucking, yeah, I can definitely see
Yeah,
where it's still scary.
the whole thing's weird, but also too, while going back and watching it, like in part two, the scene where they're on the bridge and the you know the jock douchebag guys are like driving forward in a Mercedes, and Leatherface and his crew are in a truck driving backwards, and they can't like just outrun them. You're just like, come on, just outrun them. Like it just seems silly.
And
But it is what it is. You know, they had to make the movie work. So,
the quarter mile bridge turns into 6 miles all of a sudden when they're, yeah.
yeah.
No, I agree 100%. It definitely takes away the it's one thing that Tobe Hooper did well, because like the first one came out in 73, I think, or yeah, 74 is when it came out, but it takes place in 73 at the crawl at the beginning. That's why I always get mixed up. But and then the second one came out like 86, I think. So it was definitely like a big gap. But by the time the second one came out, it definitely did a good job of adapting to what was popular in horror at the time, the like, you know, campiness and all that, but still like staying true to the original and being very like scary at times and like rough and like dirty and stuff, you know.
Yeah. And then the main poster was great because it was a Breakfast Club ripoff where they were all like positioned. That I never even caught on to until later on in life. And when I did, I was like, oh my God, it's fucking brilliant. I can't believe that. So yeah, they definitely nailed that one for sure.
Plus, who doesn't love Dennis Hopper? You know what I mean? He's just being
Yeah.
a madman in that. So, Blue Velvet's one of my favorites. So.
Yeah, and then they shit the bed on part three, which is whatever it is. That's a funny one too. When part three came out, I was in the theater and I went to see it with my friend Jose, and we were still in high school, so I think I was like probably 14 or 15 or something, and he was on acid, and I had not done acid yet, but we got out of the film, and my mom was too drunk to pick us up. She just didn't answer the phone. So we were trying to get home from the theater, and these cops stopped us. And that was really funny because like we had just saw this movie, you know, this frightening movie, and I was like kind of worried that my friend was on acid. And then the fucking cops come and they are harassing us. You know, they're first of all they're like calling us fags, and then they were calling us not they were calling us. Not they I don't know what they call us, Nazi skinheads, but they were calling us, they're like, are you skinheads? And I was like, I got fucking blue hair, and this
Yeah.
other dude Jose had a fucking mohawk, and then I was also wearing a Nazi punks fuck off shirt, and so I was like, you guys are just lame. So they just resorted to saying we're fags, and then we're like, okay, can you give us a ride home? And then they said no, and they left us there. So we had to walk. It was pretty fucking far, and it was crazy because the way to get home was near SeaWorld, and I don't know if anybody listens to this and knows what SeaWorld's like. Surrounding it is like this sort of like I don't know, like dirt area, like this island kind of area of just dirt. And it was crazy, like being, you know, walking home at like 11 p.m. and it took us a couple hours to get home, 11 and 12, at night getting home. That it just the whole thing made it like a real life horror film, So it was kind of funny to see like Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 3 to set the mood, and then we're like, oh yeah, here you go, like go fuck yourself, 14-year-old Justin. So
Go walk on this dirt path and at 11 p.m. fucking right after seeing Leatherface chop people up for 2 hours
And then
of
also just like thinking I'm gonna get arrested by the cops, and having them call me fag was like not that rad.
Now, I grew up in North Carolina, and I've always, usually had long hair or something, going on. So I've definitely gotten that from people before. So now I had a guy one time, I had my ears pierced because I was going to stretch them, you know what I mean? So I had them like, and I just decided not to go with it, and it pulled them out like very shortly after. But I had them pierced so I could stretch them and stuff. And a guy like immediately started calling me like a girl and stuff like that, and like questioning and stuff. But I was working like as I was like stocking his store full of Pepsi, which I don't work for Pepsi anymore. But he's like sitting there like, oh, well, that's kind of something a girl would do. And he started like just making comments, like calling me a girl and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, man, whatever. Like, here's your bill. Bye. Like,
Yeah,
it's like,
but
what can
like
I do?
those situations to me are like what's rooted in real horror, because like I've been I've been beat up a lot, and obviously I'm not dead, that's obvious, but I've been beat up a lot, and I'm like, this is like really like the frightening shit where like being approached by like a bunch of skinheads, you're just like, oh fuck, this is like some frightening ass shit, or trying to figure out how to just survive. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So those kind of like confrontational situations do feel like legitimate horror. For sure.
No, I definitely feel that. Like I said, growing up in North Carolina, I grew up in a, I'm in a small town, but even my small town has more stuff than other small towns around here. But like when you travel out and have to deliver to like bumfuck nowhere, it's like it gets like scary. You're like, like I'm missing a tooth, but that's because it just recently popped off. These people are missing teeth because they just were born without them. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm like, these motherfuckers. But no, but you mentioned Texas Chainsaw being your favorite of all time. Do you have any other favorites, or even maybe it's just some recent ones that you really enjoyed that you might revisit in the future?
Well, yeah, so it's kind of weird because I don't know if this fits into the category, but like I'm a big fan of Stanley Kubrick, and I think that 2001 Space Odyssey is such a great film, and it also kind of goes into the sci-fi realm, but like it also seems like a horror movie, like just being trapped on that spaceship, a space station, and essentially everybody just dying, and like having this HAL, the ship's computer turn against you. Like that's like one of my favorites. I mean, but all most of Kubrick's films are I think pretty flawless. They're all great. So I would like choose him as a director because he doesn't like really result on like or he doesn't like rely on like slasher type horror stuff. It's more suspense and just like fucks with your mind. And that's kind of the that's kind of thing that I think I gravitate towards. Not to talk shit, but it seems like the more highbrow, horror is the more suspenseful and like stuff that kind of gets into your psyche than the obvious, like here comes a guy with a knife,
No, hell yeah.
I could probably figure out some other ones, but I think off the top of my head, I would roll it with that as like a second favorite if that fits into the horror genre. Man, I don't know, yeah, I grew up just kind of like obsessing over all of like the classics, but I think like as I grew up, I just realized like they're not that great. I mean, like Halloween, I think is at this point like kind of a wash. I mean, there's like certain little things like I really like about learning about it, like how Michael Myers' mask was a Captain Kirk mask turned inside out, like shit like that makes it kind of cool, and then it kind of makes a little bit more sense to me. But yeah, but for the most part, I would just say like I started venturing into the realistic shit as far as my choices, I guess, of horror films.
No, I definitely understand what you mean. And hell yeah, I definitely agree. Those are two that I really enjoy. Texas Chainsaw, and then just anything. Well, I guess I say two, but like anything by Kubrick, I really enjoy. Like I'm a huge Kubrick fan as well. And I'm with you. It's one of those things that he's a director. It's kind of like direct, to compare him to somebody nowadays, for like the younger people listening. But like Robert Eggers, where none of his films are really horror films. Like The Witch is pretty much a horror film because it's about witches and the devil. But The Lighthouse is kind of just weird, and then The Northman is just very like like based in reality and just, you know, very rough and, you know, stuff like that, you know, kind of magical at times. But so it's one of those things. But I feel like it's none of those are necessarily horror films, like I said, outside of The Witch, but they're all for, like, it's kind of like if they're not for horror fans, who are they for? And I feel like with most Kubrick films, horror fans kind of like I feel like most horror fans that are also cinephiles kind of are the ones that are like Kubrick fans and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, there's like Kubrick, there's like just cinephiles that just like Kubrick and don't like horror. But I feel like for the most part, it's the people that are cinephiles that really like horror, that really like the Kubrick stuff. And it's because this stuff is just so weird and out there and stuff, from, you know, from 2001 to obviously The Shining, but even like all the way to his last movie with Eyes Wide Shut, you know. Of course, he had some like normal stuff, you know, mixed in and stuff, but not so, like, most of his stuff had, you know, something to it that kind of just set it apart from, you know, the normal cinematography and stuff that you get from everybody else at that time and stuff. So
yeah, and so I was gonna bring up a film, but I also want to talk about this Kubrick stuff too, because I feel like even Eyes Wide Shut was pretty fascinating, and how he died and they finished it without him, and
yeah,
there's all those like conspiracy theories about like Skull and Bones and like all that shit. And I don't know if it's true. And even like talking, even like how, you know, the moon landing was fake and all that stuff, like all the things surrounding him made all of his films have like so much more, I guess, intensity, you know, because there was all these like levels, even like with The Shining, like, you knowing about how he was like fucking with Stephen King with certain things. And like, these are all things that really resonate with me. And I like all like the details, you know, the like secret details and how things worked for a lot of his films. So yeah, him as a director and his body of work is, I think, pretty fascinating. But I was going to throw out, I can't ever say the director's name, but the guy that made Killing of a Sacred Deer. I think that film is pretty fascinating. Also bizarre, and fits in the realm of the horror stuff that I like as well, where you're like, this could actually happen, you know? Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's one of my favorites. So.
No, fuck yeah. Yeah, Yorgos Lanthimos, I think is his name. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but no, yeah. my wife hates me for liking that movie so much, because she thinks she gets freaked out by Barry Keoghan just because he's such like a weird guy, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it's because of that movie. She's like, I watched it with her one time because I love it. Like, I watched it a few times. We did I do a monthly roundtable episode with a couple of my buddies. We did a top five A24 horror films, and I put that in my horror films because I was like, it feels like a folktale told through like a modern lens, you know, with the way everybody's acting weird and there's like this mystical thing over it. But now that scene at the end when he has the shotgun and he's like doing the spin around, that's one of the fucking most gut-wrenching scenes I've seen in decades. So
and it's crazy because it is sensationalized, but also like it is very like based in reality. Like that shit could happen. Another thing I was gonna throw out too is Midsommar, I think, is that how you say it, that movie?
Midsommar,
that shit was fucking crazy too. And I get it too, like it's pretty bizarre, but like I don't know, like also as like a dumb American, like I can like be scared of it, cuz they're like in, you know, this Swedish cult, and like just the cultural differences are all like at play, but like, man, that shit was fucking brutal when the like older people jumped off the cliff. Like all that shit
at a stupa or whatever it's called.
I mean, all those things, like all those scenes nailed it, where you're just like, oh, this is fucked. And then the fact that they're all tripping balls, you know, like that also helped, I think, make it feel weird. That movie has to fucking be a horror film. I mean, I don't know what else you'd call it, but it was that was a really good one, in a rough way.
Oh yeah, it ends with a dude burning alive, so I definitely would call it fucking horror for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's one that's and it's wild too, because it's like very like horrific, but at the same time it's like very female empowering, you know what I mean, because it's like the dude was a piece of shit. So it's like, I don't know, it's one of those weird movie, but I definitely agree, it's like it kind of goes into what you said about, you know, the cult thing. It's kind of like that stuff's scary, like the sea and stuff, but you don't gotta worry about them coming for you. But stuff like that, when it's in a foreign, you know, land where you go out there and you're visiting and stuff, you might get caught up somewhere where you don't, you know, like if you're in the middle of fucking LA and it happens, you just go to 7-Eleven, call the cops if you don't have your phone, if they took your shit. But you know, you just get as far away as possible, you know what I mean? Obviously something might happen, but you're not going to get caught up in a situation like this where it's like you're going to really give like trust to these people, because you're like on their, you know, you don't know where you're, if you run off into the woods, you don't know what you're running into and all that shit. So no, it's just the unknown, I guess, is what I'm leaning into, is like with Midsommar, you know, compared to like, you know, when we were talking about the documentaries and stuff earlier, it's like, that's why that makes it 10 times more scary than it just being a cult in the middle of fucking New York City that's just pulling you in because they're talking you into coming to a meeting because they're nice to you and shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Not having a way to reach safety is or help is pretty jarring.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess it's funny too, because I would love to like see not a remake, but like something like Green Room redone, like with punk and hardcore, that seems like it would have like a flawless storyline. I think it'd be pretty rad. And then, you know, obviously, like, I hate how films have to wrap it up and have some kind of like either good ending or a suspenseful like hook. You know, I just wish it was just like left you with devastation. You're just like, that's the fucking end of the story. Like, everything sucks. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Have you seen When Evil Lurks yet?
I don't know. I don't know if I have.
It's an Argentinian horror movie that just came out this past year, and it's on Shudder right now, but I'm sure like if you wanted to rent it on Prime, I'm sure it'd be like $10 or something like that. But it's definitely a bleak movie, and I highly recommend it, especially with, you know, that comment in mind, you know, about it just ending, you know, kind of with not much hope. But
yeah.
But there's some shit that happens in that movie that is like, oh fuck, that's gonna stay with me for a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I was gonna say I'd like to I mean, I'm not trying to plug my own shit here, but I was so psyched that Def Club was in a horror film called Glorious.
Fuck yeah.
And it's funny. It's not really horror, but it, you know, there's like, actually, they only licensed one song for the film, which is ours. And I thought it was very fitting, even though it's like this guy having his toxic masculinity come to a head with his like crazy breakdown that he has in the film. But it was just so rad to like be part of something in that realm, and I'm a fan of Rebecca, the director's work, and so it was cool just to be part of that. Yeah, it was cool to be part of that. I'd like to work in film more than I do, but in the genre of horror would be great, just to kind of help kind of make things like going back to Funny Games and like having Zorn do the soundtrack. I was like, that is such a rad choice. And it really did make a difference. And I feel like sometimes people might shit the bed with the music that they use in their horror film. And then, you know, a lot of it is like very synth heavy and, you know, like a lot of the 80s stuff made sense, but it was never like really super scary, where I feel like something like John Zorn's work is generally frightening, you know. Or you could just throw in other bands, like something like Swans or something, where you're just like, fuck, this is generally adds an element of fright to it. So
yeah. No, fuck yeah. No, I am a fan of Rebecca McKendry's work as well, the director of Gloria. She does the podcast Colors Out of the Dark or something like that. Color Out of Dark or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, Colors From Out of the Dark. It's a Fangoria podcast, but no, I listen to that quite often. I listen to like their top 10 of the year that just came up recently and stuff like that. Yeah. So every now and then when there's like a new movie I watch and I want to find an opinion, if they've done an episode on it, I'll like watch it. Cause like I usually travel like an hour to see movies because there's a theater local, but there's nicer ones like a little bit away where I can go get food and beer and stuff while I'm sitting and watching movies. So usually I'll use the hour trip back to like listen to a podcast. So like, you know, kind of like flesh out some thoughts and hear what other people thought and stuff like that. You know, if I go by myself, you know, because my wife's not big into horror, plus we have a kid, so a lot of times I'll just hit like late nights by myself and just go. So but so I'm a big fan of hers as well, and like her podcast. But that kind of lends perfectly into my next question, actually, which is I, you know, at the end I kind of do some hypothetical questions that mix music and movies, and just a few of them, just two of those, and then one question I like to ask all my guests to end the show. But my first one is actually, would you ever want to compose a film? Which obviously I know the answer to that is definitely yes, but what subgenre would you like to do, well, if given the choice, like aliens or supernatural or, you know, slasher or whatever?
I mean, I'm not gonna be picky, so if someone said, hey, you want to score a film or work on a film in any way, I would say yes.
Oh yeah, that's the hypothetical part is the subgenre. Yeah,
yeah. The reason why Planet B became a band was we were asked to score part of the film to this film called Incompressa, which is Ozzy Argento's film. So we scored that, and that actually ended up resulting to us being a band. But I think like, and we've done some other scoring work after that as well. But Luke Henshaw from Planet B does the bulk of it. But I think horror or sci-fi would be the obvious. I mean, because of, if you think about the bands that I'm part of, like it all sounds like it's already a soundtrack to horror and sci-fi stuff anyhow. So that would be my obvious answer. But I mean, fuck, I'd be up for a challenge to do something that's not like that. I always tripped out on, like, you know, certain friends of mine working on cartoons or you know, just like TV shows that aren't in that horror realm. And like, would I be able to, you know, would I be able to collaborate or like partake in something like that? I don't know, because I don't really write like nice sounding music. But I don't know. Yeah, I'd be up for the challenge. But horror would be the jam if it could happen.
Oh yeah, no, that'd be awesome for sure. And I definitely see what you mean with you know, the sci-fi stuff. But no, and I'm a huge Argento fan. I got Tenebrae, you know, behind me on the wall and stuff. I'm excited for the documentary to come out. So I definitely know Aja Argento and stuff. She starts showing up in his later work, and then that's awesome that you were in one of her films. I have to check that out. Or, you know, that you scored one of her films. I have to check that one out. I haven't seen that one, but I'll definitely put it on my list now. So
it's a good film. I don't want to say like it's a good film, I worked on it or whatever, but like I think it is a really good film. And I learned a lot working on it as well. I acted in it, and then I wrote music for it and scored part of it. So all of those things helped me like really see film on a different level, which is funny because it's kind of like when you, like for me, like when I listen to a record or someone's music, not mine, but I listen to someone else's music, I'm like picking the instruments apart, and I think about all these different things. And most people, I think, just listen to it as music. And same with film, I really didn't know, like I would just like watch a film and then that would be it, and kind of take things from it that weren't like, I wasn't looking at the DNA of what the film was made up of. I was just kind of looking at it as like a larger picture. And now I think like, oh, how did they get that scene to work? Or like the, you know, the transition in the scenes, or the, I don't know, whatever. Like, I just think about all these things now, and I'm grateful that I see it like that. It's pretty interesting. Even basic things, like when I was working with Ozzy, she would like tell everyone like, here's the BPM or the beat, you know, like that you'll act to. And I was like, you know, as a musician, I was thinking like, oh, that's really weird and interesting that's something that people consider. I never thought about that, you know. And so the pace of a scene has a beat, you know, has a rhythm. I don't know, maybe real life does too. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, no, it starts to make more sense to you when you're out there doing that and you're like, that's why actors either become, you know, musicians or vice versa. It's like they just get so used to the rhythms and shit, you know, or you got to have rhythm to do, you know, acting. So it's like no wonder that they all come out either, you know, rapper, can sing pretty well, or even, you know, some of them are great musicians and stuff. Like fucking Keanu Reeves is on tour right now with his band finally for after all these years. So.
Yeah, a dog star, is that? Yeah.
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 But and Michael,
I mean, that's good for him.
Yeah. Or you can pull a Michael Shannon and just get a bunch of guys to play the instruments and just cover REM. He's doing REM karaoke all around the world. I don't know if you know about that, but
no, that sounds pretty rad.
It's him singing and like a bunch of his buddies that he grew up with, and they're playing like a REM album from front to back, and they're just like touring. Like they're coming right here, like an hour away from me as well. So I was like,
whoa.
I kind of want to go just to meet Michael Shannon and be like, dude, you were awesome in Boardwalk Empire.
I know. He's such a great actor. I recently saw Corey Feldman play, and that was fucking dog shit. and so there's that. So I wonder, like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I went like, cause I was kind of fascinated by it. And then I was like, this is really terrible. And then I've heard so many fucked up things about that guy. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, yeah, it's dog shit. But it is a trip to like, I don't know. I'm like, I know my lane. I mean, I'm not even sure if the music stuff I do is good. So I'm like, if I act or if I'm part of a film or if I score something, like I'm not going to start sucking my own dick. Cause I at least I question the value of what I do. I don't even know if it's what I do is good at all, but like people like Corey Feldman, who's just like, thinks he's the comeback king, which I'm like, this is pretty bad, dude. But yeah, I think like someone like, you know, like you said about like Michael Shannon doing the REM cover, like it seems like just fucked up enough to where it might be like, that's really good, you know?
Yeah. No, what you mean? It's one of those things where it's like, you know, he doesn't have to. So it's like, let him enjoy something. Where Corey Feldman, it's like, this dude hasn't done something in a while. So it's like, you know, he's just out there.
I mean, do you just like kick it and like live off the royalties and like not try to force something? I don't know. Yep. Yeah. It's the whole realm of that guy's life is bizarre. So there's that.
He could ride the convention circuit for the rest of his life for sure.
Yeah. But I am a fan of like the like, you know, actors like playing in bands and stuff. Like my friend Michael Malarkey, I don't know if you're familiar with some of his work. He's like does a lot of TV and he does like, he has a new band now too. And so it's pretty rad to see like people who I kind of knew as like from their acting, like all of a sudden they're like, oh, they're ripping in a band now, like in a punk and a hardcore band. That's fucking pretty rad.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool to see that stuff happen.
No, oh, yeah. Now I know both Kier from like It Follows is in a couple great ass bands. And then Spencer, Granas, who's, he was in like, what shows was he in? He was in Better Call Saul. He's been in a couple things, but he plays in a couple like grindcore bands and stuff, like heavier bands and stuff. So now those are a couple other actors that are doing it like on a lower level that are killing it. Just, you know, they don't get the recognition because, you know, they're doing like lower level movies and, you know, like same thing. He's like Spencer Granas is doing like a bunch of TV. He kills it, everything he does, but he plays like two episode roles. You know what I mean? Where like a character comes in, gets killed and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I mean, oh, yeah. I would love to do that shit. And it's funny because like I one of, like going back to like things like I learned when I was working with Ozzy, there's a scene where like I'm getting like dumped by my girlfriend in the film, and I smashed this record, and I remember like them kind of saying like, this is like, you know, this is the scene, do this, this and that. And so I smashed the record, and I was just so for me it's like playing in a punk band, like when the first snare hit happens, like it kind of, everything's like irrational, you know? And so anyhow, I smashed this record in the scene and I'm bleeding, and everyone's like, oh fuck, stop the scene. Like, you're bleeding. And I was like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
let's do this. Like, let's make this shit fucking real, you know? And so, I think most, you know, actors would probably not be as quite irrational. And I was like, oh, let's just go 100% and make it fucked up. And that's the jam, you know? And so I feel like if someone was just to cast me in something, I would just go that extra mile. You know, where you hear about like someone filming a scene and they like really broke their leg or something, like that would probably be me, and be like, oh fuck. Well, at least it looked good, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. Kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio and Django, you know, smashing the glass and cutting his hand. You know, that's a famous one for sure, but hell yeah.
Totally. And I think he's a great actor, and I think that's a really good film. So yeah, and I can appreciate, like, I think if you're fucking with like the level of, like, that's a good example. Like, that movie's like pretty insane. You better bring it. You know, you can't fucking fart out your scene. Like, you have to like really go full bore. And I think that's cool. And also like tying back into like, let's tie it back into like horror. I mean, I think like Mandy, you know, when you see Nicolas Cage in that film, you're like, this motherfucker is unhinged.
Yeah.
In the film, obviously, but like in order for him to act that way, like you got to really be a weird person, you know, like you got to be insane, like in like a great way. And I think it shows, for sure.
Yeah. They use his strengths in that movie better than anybody's used it in years. I think that was why, you know, you saw like a Nick Cage renaissance afterwards and stuff. But
yeah,
but hell yeah. Pretty much my second and last of the hypothetical ones is, you know, if somebody approached you guys and, you know, like I said, hypothetical, so, you know, budget doesn't matter or anything like that, somebody just approached you and wanted you for one of your projects to make a music video, but it'd be kind of like a short film version of one of your favorite horror movies, you know, just remade featuring you and the guys, what movie would you choose and how would you do it into like a short music video?
Yeah, well, I don't know what I would pick. It's such a great idea. I never even thought about it like that, because for me, like with the song, it's the video is the afterthought, you know, or like the film idea wouldn't be like, let's write a, fuck, I don't know. There's a movie that I would want to write a song about, not in a negative way, but like, yeah. I don't think of music like that, but I don't know, maybe with like Satanic Planet or something, it might fall into that realm. But the thing is too, like, even with Satanic Planet, where like, it seems like, oh, that's spooky and you're, you know, in this horror-esque thing, or it sounds fucked up. Like I think about that right now because we're working on this new album, and you know, and there's like, you know, some of the lyrics, like Lucian's lyrics in that band are fantastic. But you know, like one of the songs ends with this thing about this like idea about, it's really funny. I never thought in my life that I would sing lyrics and say the word cunt, which is an offensive word normally. But the lyrics are talking about Samuelito being dropped from his mom's cunt. And I was like, oh, this is great. Samuelito and his mom and like referencing her cunt. I feel like this is all good. So like, I would want to like make, I would, I don't know, like my horror movie that I could come up with would be like, I don't know, a typical day for Congress or something, or like the Supreme Court, you know. I don't know. I mean, maybe like for me, if there was a movie that was like a horror movie that is based in reality, where like, because in reality there's patriarchy and you know, something to do with like abortion would just be fucking great. And hopes that you could sort of like change people's perception. Anything against God or Christianity or Catholics or Catholicism or like the Vatican or anything like that. I mean, I would love to just destroy all that shit as well. So fuck, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, picking something like The Shining is so cool, but like picking a film in the realms of the things that I bought, that I just mentioned would be like not something I really want to sing about. You know, I don't really want to sing about priests raping kids, you know, like that sucks. Yeah. So totally real life horror shit though, you know? But like, it'd be cool if there was a film where they like, you know, kill the Pope. And then I'd like to make a video about that, you know, or something along those lines. Maybe there is one where they kill the Pope, but one that's based in reality, I suppose.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah. Have you ever seen the movie Netflix, which is way bigger than Shudder, has a movie called I think it's Coming Home Alone in the Dark. Have you seen that?
No.
I highly recommend checking that out. I don't want to say much more because there's like, you know, twists and turns and stuff, but pretty much it's like why it connects, or why, you know, I brought it up, you know, in reference to stuff like that. But it pretty much is about these two guys that just show up. This guy's having a picnic out with his family, and these two guys show up with guns and immediately are like, keep the family hostage. And then it like goes on from there, but it's super fucking tense. It's a great movie and all that, but it kind of, I feel like it would be like a good way to lend into kind of, you know, what you're saying and stuff like that. Cause without giving too much away about that film, because it's not, this is necessarily the same thing, you know, it's just kind of like connects a little bit, but like, you know how, like you were talking about the Pope, you know what I mean? Like how the Pope, you know, the stuff that he does and stuff like that. It's kind of like, what if you had like one of his victims come back later on, you know, for him, you know, and stuff like that, you know, one of his, you know, one of, like, you saw somebody as an adult get revenge, but then you find out why, you know what I mean? Like a lot of those movies aren't played out like to be horror movies, but some of them are the most brutal horror movies. Like I'm trying to remember what the fuck the name of the movie is called, but there's a movie with, I think it's Rosario Dawson. It's either Rosario Dawson or, the girl from Clerks 2. Or is that Rosario Dawson? Yeah, it's either Rosario Dawson or Zoe Saldana. Rosario Dawson is in Clerks 2. I'm thinking of Zoe Saldana that's in Guardians of the Galaxy. But pretty much that girl gets raped in the movie. And her boyfriend later on, her and her new boyfriend like kidnap the guy. And her like new boyfriend like rapes the guy back. And it's like a fucked up movie and stuff like that. And people don't look at those movies as being like horror, but I'm like, what else would you look at them? You know, like they might be like true crime, you know, like or stuff like that. So like, or you know, people do look at them as horror, but like, you know, it's kind of like, where's, you know, it's like real life horror. It's not like there's a scary boogeyman. It's like this dude is just gnarly shit. So gnarly shit happened back. So now I could see where that could play in a music video, not necessarily like that, but I just mean that was just a movie that popped in my head. You know what I mean? Like revenge in a fucking gnarly way type thing.
I mean, I'm waiting for what Derek Chauvin that killed George Floyd like to die in prison, where, you know, he's had a couple close calls, and then make a horror movie about that, because like, you know, let's face it, in prison, I mean, there are films that are kind of based in that sort of realm where like prison murder, you know, it's like that guy's gonna fucking die, like pretty sure he's gonna fucking die a painful death in prison because of what he did and who he is. And then it's kind of weird because it's like horror and someone's dying, but you're like rooting for the person killing another person. So yeah, I mean, like I would have no issues with like that, or you know, someone like kids going back who grew up and killing people from the Catholic Church who molested and raped them. That would be like what is that, like justice horror or something, you know, like justice horror, I guess. I don't know, those are the kind of thing where you're kind of like, yeah, you know, rooting for the people to die, which is flipping the script, I suppose, to some extent, because you typically are supposed to root for the person that's avoiding the killer, you know, not the killer.
Yeah, that's why you don't find out the twist at the end, like, oh, this person's the piece of shit, you know. That's why they, like, that's how it feels like horror the whole time, because they're like, oh, this person's getting tortured for no reason, blah blah blah. It's like, oh no, they're getting tortured because they're a piece of fucking shit.
There was that one film, I wish I could remember the title, but like they like It was a little absurd, but it was a good film. But they went to like an Airbnb, and then there was like an underground bunker, and people kept they all died or whatever.
Barbarian.
What?
Barbarian.
Yeah, that's it. That was pretty insane. Like, I mean, it was, you know, there's a bit of sensationalism in it, but like the concept stuck with me because, you know, I go on tour a lot and like I stay at Airbnbs and I'm like, fuck, like who knows what's in this house, you know, like that could totally happen to us. I guess that could be another script that someone could write for a horror movie. A band goes on tour, stays at Airbnb, and gets like massacred.
Yeah.
By the Christian right or something.
I'm still waiting for a horror movie about a band that like a fan's like, hey, you guys can crash at my house, and then like they go out to their house in the middle of the woods, because that's one of the main like, so like to kind of like segue into my last question and also like tell the story, like my last question that I like to ask all my guests is, you know, do you have a horror story of your own? And a lot of the horror stories come from guys that like literally like somebody was like, hey, you can come crash at our house, and then either something weird happened when they got there, or it was like some weird ass house, or it was some weird abandoned like farmhouse shed that was like just a big warehouse thing. And it's always like something weird happened, you know, like not all of them, but you know, I've done 200 and this is probably 225 that I've recorded, so like I've done a lot of episodes, and that's like a majority of them is just like, hey, you can come crash in my place. So I'm waiting for one of those to actually be written into a horror movie from like one of these, because there's so many, like we talked about, you know, even with the dude with Green Room, Jeremy Saulnier, that did that, you know, he, you know, he's an ex-band dude, the dude from Radio Silence, he used to play in the punk band Link 80, you know, so there's so many guys that are out there directing and writing movies that used to play in punk bands or just bands in general that I'm sure went through some sketchy shit like that, you know, whether it was the neo-Nazis or Creepy Kevin that let you come stay in his shed, you know, but it's I'm just waiting for that horror movie for sure.
I'm always waiting for that horror movie to happen in real life. Like when I'm like, I'm at the point in my life where I try really hard not to crash on someone at someone's house, for that very reason. But like, this isn't really like horror-esque, but like, when Def Club first started, I think our second show we ever played was in Las Vegas, and our drummer's friend suggested someone. We stayed with her at her house, and her roommate was like this. Like he was like on steroids and shit, and he was like a MMA fighter, and like for me it was fucked up because he was like kind of wanted to talk about the Locust a lot, and like I was like, I don't, you know, want to talk about it, or like the guy was fucked up and he's eating like a ton of candy, and he's like super ripped, and then he would just fall asleep and start snoring and then wake up and start talking about black metal, and I was like, dude, this is terrible, I just want to go to sleep. And I actually was like, this is the last time I'm going to do this, like sleeping on someone's, it's, you know, cause it was a nice house. Like it seemed fine or whatever, but like, I was like, there's a good chance, like something super bad could happen tonight. And nothing happened, but like, it was just fucked up enough to where I was like, fuck this. So yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of weird stories about touring and like things that happened, but never, nothing's ever like really got like to be terrible, bad, but never terrible. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So pretty much my last question, like I mentioned, is that exactly that, you know, do you have a horror story of your own, you know, whether it be from being on the road or just something in your personal life that was scary as shit, if you want to share that kind of story as well. And if you believe in the paranormal, you're more than welcome to share a paranormal story as well.
Paranormal shit's pretty wild too. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I would love for it to exist, but I really don't know if it does. Paranormal Same. In the sense like maybe there's aliens and stuff, but like as far as like ghosts and shit, I don't really believe in. But it's weird because my perception of horror is really weird. Like I said, growing up, my parents didn't care that I was watching all these films. So I had seen really fucked up shit as a kid, obviously in cinema. But then like my real life was pretty odd too. Like my dad was murdered in our driveway at my house. And
oh, shit, I'm sorry.
And no, it was fine. I mean, I didn't see it. Like I actually stayed at my friend's house that night and he was murdered. But it was just weird to like have this perception of life and different things that happen, like knowing about all this horror movie stuff and like being like really into it and it's science fiction and stuff as well. And then like having like shit, like my dad died, and then my mom's boyfriend after my dad died would beat me. And so I was like, oh, this is like real. This is like the real deal, you know? And it wasn't like sensationalized, like where I could be like movie, you know, like this happened and that, and this and that, like, you know, it'd be like periodically there'd be like I'd get in a fight with the guy, and I'd go to call like child services or the cops, and he'd just rip the phone. You know, this is like landline, so he'd like rip the phone off the wall, and then he's like, "Oh, there's no phone now." Like that's horror movie shit, you know. You know, like I survived, I'm fine, and even like all the Nazi shit we talked about, like because San Diego had a big problem with neo-Nazis in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like those are things that just like happened, and I feel, you know, like there's a lot of PTSD associated with that stuff, but like also I feel like it made me stronger for the future, because when the apocalypse comes, like fuck, I could probably get through most of it, you know, where like a lot of people might just shit the bed and not make it. So
right. Every time I see like a crazy ass hardcore show like on you know Instagram these days, and people are in the comments like, "Oh, these fucking white people have lost their minds," I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yep, I can't wait for the apocalypse, because you guys would be the first to go.
Yeah.
No, fuck yeah. That's why, like, even though I'd hate to say like anything positive about the culture of it, because I think it's crazy as fuck that they do it, but like the people that like block off car shit and do these crazy like spin outs and like do all this like crazy shit, I'm like, those people will survive too, because they're like, they don't give a fuck. They know like they'll react when they need to react. Like they're not gonna just be like, you know, like same with like people that go to hardcore shows or punk shows, you know, anything like that, any heavy music, like fucking even death metal people, you know, anything that deals with moshing or just crazy crowds. It's like, you know, even some, you know, hip hop shows these days, you know, like there's moshing and stuff. So it's like, or fucking even like EDM shit, people just go nuts, you know, some of those. So it's like, it's any of those people that just get used to that like reactive nature that, you know, like people like growing up and that stuff have, you know. And then of course, like you said, you had some other trauma and stuff growing up that you dealt with that definitely helps, you know, get once you get to those things. So it's just like, but like just staying in those crazy, you know, crowds and worlds and stuff as you get older and stuff, it keeps you on your toes pretty much as you go. So.
Totally. Yeah.
But no, hell yeah. But no, I appreciate you for sharing and everything and for coming on the show, man. And, you know, it was a blast chatting with you.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Hell yeah, man. Later.
And as usual, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and make sure you check back next week as I'll be joined by the one and only Sammy Duet of the bands Goat Horror and Acid Bath. Now, hopefully by then I'll sound better. I won't sound like the fucking kid from Halloween 2018. But in the meantime, just make sure you go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all updates on the podcast. Fucking X, I guess, not Twitter. If you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, link for that is in the description. Also put Justin's link tree in the description if you want to check out any of his stuff. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and stay safe.